This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon, this is Tech Talk. My name is Jeff Sandhu. Today's fitness device could be the monitoring device of the future. Are we strapping a control mechanism to our wrist? Today we look at the future of wearables as Culture Pop's Matt Armitage asks, what if? Hopefully this is like a new episodes that will come in the later on.
I think we can do a few what ifs.
Yes. All right. So let's lay out the ground rules for this what if.
Well, wearables, of course, are the latest technology buzz craze. Companies have failed to flog us 3D TVs, so they're trying to recoup some of that investment by selling us these little wristy things that, you know, tell the time, obviously, measure our steps and our sleep patterns, and scare us silly by reporting our heart rate every 30 seconds, which actually nobody should know. Nobody needs to know what their heart rate is all of the time. It's a horrible
thing.
It's
paranoid, yeah.
Yeah, paranoia, exactly. You know, we all know there are plenty of reports of the piles of unused Apple Watches, but whatever happens with the current generation of fitness devices, I think wearable technology is definitely here to stay, and it's going to increasingly dominate the lives of future Jeff and tomorrow Matt.
Oh, right. Now, we've talked about the wearables we have now, right now, you know, just being at the starting point. What do you think about the wearables will become by the time they turn into our, you know, jailers?
Something else that we've talked about on the show before. I mean, there's a revolution in fashion going on right now. We're seeing a lot of man-made, laboratory-grown fabrics being used. These fabrics, they wick away our sweat. They might even have nanoparticles in them that help to cool us down. And these smart fabrics are also ripe for the collision of the next generation and the new generation of very small sensors, 3D printing. There, I managed to sneak it in. And all of these new fabrics, which can potentially be printed off rather than woven on looms in the future.
You're dangling the carrots, but you may still need to feed them to the horses.
Yes, I always have to stop and take a breath whenever I mention anything to do with 3D printing. Yes, I know it's a bit difficult to get to grips with. Basically, it means that the sensors that measure your heartbeat can be woven into your T-shirt, for example. So instead of it being, you know, like this device on your wrist, all of the components are actually spread across the shirt, so it feels like part of the material. It moves naturally. It moves with your skin. It doesn't actually feel like, you know, this weighty lump that's sitting there. But anyway, I mean, that really is just technology. It's not far away. People are already testing this type of technology. And the sticking point right now is only the power sources. So the rest of it is actually already possible, although not in as elegant a way as I'm sure it will be in a couple of decades' time. But like I said, it's less important to understand how the technology works than how it's going to be used.
All right. So how are the devices being presented to us right now?
Well, of course, the positive pitch is that these devices, in terms of use, can help us to be much healthier and much happier people. I know that you use a little wrist device for tracking your steps and your sleep from time to time.
Yeah. I've been using a few. I've been trying it out. Yeah.
Does it work?
To the most part of it, it does. It does tell me, like, you know, I've managed to sleep 8 hours, 7 hours. Yeah. How many deep sleep of hours did I get from that 7 to 8? Or, but the thing is, I do not know how accurate it is. I really do not. I can't tell because I'm asleep.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, personally, I use them mostly for tracking steps. I mean, we've already mentioned, you don't need to know what your heart rate is all of the time. And with sleeping, I mean, I've got a cat. He keeps my sleeping patterns pretty strictly regulated. But the idea is that as the abilities of these devices increase to measure body temperature, blood glucose, adrenaline levels, all kinds of things, we'll have a much more immediate picture of our health. Mm. So this is a bit gross, but your underwear might check traces of your urine because, let's face it, if you're wearing pants, there's going to be traces of urine. But anyway, it might test those traces for blood or elevated hormone levels. Your socks might be making sure that the proper blood flow is reaching your feet. You might have genes that automatically loosen and tighten to make sure you get the support you need to avoid things like varicose veins. Or, you know, while your shirt and your blouse takes care of your body temperature and monitoring your heart rate, which you don't want. Your jacket, of course, we'll keep the rain off.
Yeah, which all of these are good stuff. This is the future where we prevent illness and diseases because, you know, we recognize the signs and get things treated ahead of time, right?
That's true to a point. Yes, we'll be able to spot things early and make changes to our lives that may prevent, you know, horrible things like cancer from developing. And of course, all of that is going to make medical care cheaper in the long run. Fewer people developing horrible diseases. It'll help to bring down both the insurance risk factors and the premiums, which means that we can afford to have better cover for ourselves and at the same time reduce the likelihood of ever actually having to use it.
And you know, with ViewMed, it's not all rosy. There is surely a bad part in this. So what is it?
Okay, I'm not saying that this is what the companies are planning to do. I'm just saying that this is a possible scenario. I don't want anyone to get sued here.
What you would do.
Yeah, what I would do, yeah. Look at seatbelts, for example. They're a fantastic invention. Can't even count the number of deaths and serious injuries that they've averted over the decades. But if it can be proved that you weren't wearing a seatbelt during a crash, especially if it can be shown that you wouldn't have been injured otherwise, it can affect your insurance claim. Mm.
So you're arguing that insurance companies could demand the same kind of approach to wearables then?
Exactly. And like I said, this is simply a scenario. I'm not alleging there's any kind of conspiracy going on, but it would make sense. In return for a reduced premium, you agree to the insurance company's request that you use approved health trackers 24 hours a day and send back the data to their processing center. On the one hand, there's positive. Their computers can alert you to any anomalies, and they request that you go in for tests. All of that could be done automatically. And then, of course, that brings you to the downsides.
That would be all the data produced then.
Exactly. I don't know how many listeners have seen the British TV series Humans. In it, androids become, you know, everyone has their own personal robot, and the androids become carers. And in effect, they force people to keep to prescribed medical routines. For example, data could show that you took your medication late or that you actually skipped a dose or maybe you drank alcohol and you weren't supposed to or you took some kind of illegal substances. Or, for example, you had an episode of shortness of breath and then you went to the gym afterwards. Or the same thing, you go to the gym instead of staying in bed when you have a cold.
And all of which just sounds pretty reasonable.
Well, of course. I mean, we're people. We're not machines. We do stupid things like this all of the time. If we were machines, we'd be machines that were programmed to do stupid things. we're not rational, and we often fail to do the things that are in our own best interest.
We're machines who do not know that we're machines.
Precisely. And all of these things could be used to deny you medical cover or care in the case of private insurance. In the case of government care, it could be used to block you from some or all kind of health services. And we call it big data for a reason. What's to stop an algorithm from churning through your history to find the anomalies that will enable a claim to be turned down rather than, you know, honored? And again, I keep reiterating, I'm not saying this isn't going to happen, but, you know, when we're talking about what ifs, a bookie would probably give you fairly good odds for this one.
Now, illegal gambling aside, what's the likelihood that this will happen, though?
Well, again, you can look at something like professional sports, where this is coming in already. There's that movie Moneyball, where big data transformed a minor baseball team. And that's an increasing reality in a lot of professional sports, especially in the US. Computers are crunching stats on absolutely everything. There are even sensors in soccer balls that can tell how hard a player is kicking, what kind of spin they use, how the ball reacts to the wind pressure and direction, all of those kind of things. So you can bring all of that information together. You can factor it in with weather data like, you know, wind speed, direction. And you can make, you know, tweaks to a team to make sure you've got the optimal lineup on any given day. Because with this kind of data, even the tiniest factors can give you an edge over another competitor or team, especially if they're using the same kind of technology.
Yeah.
And we're talking sports industries worth billions of dollars here.
Yeah. Now, it's a lot of this information, you know, just sounds like, you know, it doesn't predict the kind of model that you're suggesting, though.
Well, again, we stick with sports. The question is, where does the tracking end? At the moment, the tracking is generally at practice and during games, but there's increasing pressure, again, given the huge sums of money that these pro sports guys often earn, for that monitoring to go on away from the track too. So then you start getting into the realm of, what do people eat? How much alcohol do they drink? Do they use recreational drugs? Are they maintaining the right exercise balance in their personal life? The teams would consider this part of their domain as these things, all of these things affect performance on the field as well. But there's also that privacy element. Once you give people this kind of control, you're basically becoming, you know, a kind of slave in a lot of ways. You know, they get to determine what you do every minute of the day. And we have to be aware of the same things happening to us. You know, the idea is that this remains as a what-if show and never turns into I told you so.
The first of the what-ifs. Prison wearables. That Matt Armitage from Culture Pop. We'll be right back with Geek Squawks, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.